What is it really like to have an auditory processing disorder? We hear a lot of terms thrown around, ADHD, APD, dyslexia, but if you're the student in the classroom or the adult at work trying to get the job done, what does that look like for you? Today, you get to hear from a delightful high school student who lives with APD. Auditory processing disorder. She's going to share what it's like and how to help your child advocate for what they need. This is LD Expert Live. Welcome to LD Expert Live, your place for answers and solutions for learning differences, dyslexia, and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers and author of At Wit's End, A Parent's Guide to Ending the Struggle, Tears, and Turmoil of Learning Disabilities. This book will help you understand why some bright children and teens struggle in school and what can be done to change that permanently. To get a free copy, go to parentsatwitsend.com. Our guest today is Adeline Smith. Adeline is a junior in high school. She learned she had auditory processing disorder, or APD, when she was 8 and has been learning how to advocate for herself since then. Now she advocates for others and is on a mission to educate the public about this invisible learning challenge. Welcome, Adeline.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to be here.
I'm just so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I met Adeline when she interviewed me on IGTV. I think I learned more from her than she did from me on that interview. And so I came away thinking, man, this girl is so insightful. I've got to share her with our viewers. So here she is. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Adeline.
Yeah, of course. I am 17 years old. I'm a junior in high school. I enjoy baking and learning sign language. I make weekly posts for APD and give tips and tricks on how to live with it. After high school, I plan to go to college and hopefully get my degree in ASL interpreting.
Perfect. That's such a cool thing. I would love to be able to sign. I love to watch it.
It's really cool. I love it.
You know, you knew you had APD from the time you were 8, so pretty young. But I remember you were telling me about an experience you had in 8th grade that really had an impact on you. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I remember I was in 8th grade, like you said, and I had the opportunity to be an aide in a special education class. The teacher had us watch a video about different disorders and mental illnesses around the world. One of those was APD, or auditory processing disorder. And, you know, it came up like a light bulb because they started talking about it. One guy did. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only person that struggles so hard with this. I'm not the only person that, you know, has to learn how to deal with this disorder and how to advocate for themselves. And it was really cool to see that there are millions of other people that have this and that go through the same challenges that I do on a daily basis. So one thing to know is that you're not alone and that there's other people out there in the world to help you.
Which is a huge thing to understand, that it's not just you.
Yeah. You know, up to this point until I had this class, I thought I was literally the only person in the world that I was struggling with this. And I felt so alone. And so like, where do I turn for help? Who do I turn to? How do I get help? And I felt like hopeless, but then, you know, I watched that video and it was like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I know you're really passionate about educating others about APD, probably, you know, kind of out of that experience. And I love that because I think education opens up all kinds of doors to understanding and real change. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that you are trying to get the word out about auditory processing disorder?
Yeah, so I currently have an Instagram account and I post weekly posts on it about APD and how to live with it and some things people might not know about it. I also spoke to the University of Maryland a couple of months ago and gave them a basic overview of what APD was and just some tips and tricks because they're going to become audiologists in the future and I wanted them to have some basic knowledge of APD. I hope to speak to different school districts and the staff and administration there and give them an overview as well of APD because if they know the signs and symptoms of their kids and if they see the signs and symptoms of APD in their children and their students, then they can advocate for their students and they can get help a lot earlier than I did. And I know if I would have gotten help, then I would have gotten help a lot earlier.
You know, that is amazing what you're doing, I think. You know, auditory processing is at the root of so many different learning attention or social difficulties, but it is kind of hidden. So yes. A lot of times in a classroom, a teacher is going to look and think that the student has ADHD because they look like they're not listening and they're not paying attention. But that could be a direct symptom of APD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could just be them being exhausted from listening so hard that they just completely tune out and say, I don't even care anymore. I'm too exhausted for this. I'm going to tune out and do something else.
Right.
Which really is APD and it's not ADHD at all.
Right. And so this is really something that the world needs to know about because unless you experience it or you deal with it all the time, the way we do at the learning centers, it's just not obvious.
No.
I have to say, I love that you talk to, you know, people who are becoming audiologists because these are the people that are testing for it.
Exactly.
But it gives them a picture of what it looks like on the other side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been following your Instagram, Adeline, and you share such good insights and advice. And so to our viewers, I would really encourage you to follow Adeline on Instagram at Advocate for APD. And if you have teens with auditory issues, I encourage you to have them follow her. She touches on things that they're dealing with that people just don't understand unless they're living with it. And, you know, as you said, it's nice to know that you're not alone.
Yes, for sure. I was talking when I spoke at the University of Maryland, they told me beforehand that they learn APD from books and textbooks and their research, but living with it is a completely different thing. Yes, you hear about the exhaustion, but like living with it is just, it's so different.
Well, so let's talk about that a little bit. What is it like to be a student with APD? How do you feel like it's different for you than other students?
Yeah, you feel kind of different because so when you grow up, right, your parents tell you all the time, you can do anything, you can be anything, go out in the world, take all those opportunities, grab onto everything you possibly can. And that's what I did. I tried everything I could, lots of different things. And then when I got my diagnosis, it was like an automatic like, oh, like I have limitations. I have things I cannot do physically. And I have these things that I have to overcome in order to keep going on with my life and succeed. I remember just being, as soon as I heard that and I got diagnosed, I was almost like shut down in a way because it was like I was a stereotype and I was like, I was immediately put into the statistic of being slow and a slow learner and dumb and stupid and not trying hard enough. All these negative things were like poured on me. And, you know, once you hear those things, I mean, like who wants to come back up to the top, right? It's hard to get back up there and you feel slow and it's a hard road.
So learning about the diagnosis, because you've really studied this.
Yes.
That seems like it's really helped you to understand it better, understand yourself.
Yeah.
And so in class, it's going to be a lot more difficult to listen to a lecture and get it all. What do you do?
Yeah, it's definitely a very hard challenge. There's lots of challenges in the classroom. For example, one is lectures. When I'm in the classroom and I'm listening to a lecture, it's hard for me to listen to a fact and then process that in my brain and then write it down. What makes it even harder is when I have to, you know, listen to the fact and then I go down. And one thing I really rely on is lip reading. So when I go down to take my note, I can't see the professor's lips anymore. So that is one communication blocker for me. So so like the flow doesn't work correctly because I have to take the notes and then I keep going back up and down and it gets messed up and I can't process everything. And there's side conversations going on and it gets into a lot. So that's one challenge I have.
And then your notes when you get home are probably not going to be accurate because there are holes there. You're going to have to connect the dots kind of.
I mean, everyone else's notes was always organized and mine was like random fact there, random night though, note there. And just like, it's so unorganized and they're kind of everywhere. And so when you get home, you're like, wait, what did I learn in class again? Like, I don't know how to solve this math equation because I was so focused on listening to the teacher and just trying so hard to get that information in.
So you said some really important things there. Just the fact that, first of all, you said your notes were really disorganized. And so, you know, as a parent or a teacher, we could easily look at that and say, oh, well, she's not organized. She needs to learn how to take notes, which, you definitely want to have that skill. But that may not be the root of the problem. It may not be a lack of organization. It may be that you're not getting all the information, so you can't organize it because it doesn't make enough sense.
Yeah, I remember I had some tutor in elementary school where she would take me out of class and we would just work on note-taking. And I hated that because then I missed more information in the class and then I had to go back after and I was like, can we not do this in class? Like, I need to get the information in class and do note-taking later. So that was difficult as well. Another challenge I have is working in groups because, you know, you get to your group and literally everyone is talking. There are so many conversations going on at the same time that I can't hear anything. And so when I was in elementary school, I remember taking charge and saying, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. This person's going to do this. And then we're all going to come together. And they took that as controlling. And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to come across controlling. I can't hear anything. And I got so much anxiety in me and so much stress that I felt like I had to take control. Otherwise, nothing was going to get done. And then we would look like a bad presentation group.
Wow. Such amazing insights.
Thank you.
You know, you mentioned the fact that you're working so hard in class to block the noise, to focus in, to get all the information. That you're just exhausted. So then when you get home, you know, and you have to do homework, what is that like at that point?
Yeah, I remember so many afternoons coming home and just being like, my brain was complete mush. Like there was nothing I could do to get it back up to where it wasn't mush anymore. I would come home and I would just like take a 2-hour nap because I couldn't handle doing anything else. And I just needed a break from constant stimulus coming into my life and my ears. And it was too much. So I just said to myself, I need a break right now and I can't be successful in any other task right now. So I need to take a break and take some time to just be in complete quietness. And that helped a lot.
Which is a huge thing to understand about yourself. I mean, that's amazing. It's hard, you know, as a parent at first, if you don't realize what's going on with your child, and then it's like, okay, what is going on? Are they avoiding homework? Are they just lazy? You know, I just so appreciate the insights that you're giving us.
Thank you.
I want to say this thing about the exhaustion, That is really important. I mean, the fact that listening is so exhausting for individuals with auditory processing difficulties. Most of you watching have probably been in a situation where you were trying to have a conversation with someone pre-COVID in a crowded or very noisy restaurant. It's really hard. You probably missed a lot of information. Maybe you acted like you knew what was going on at times when you didn't. And when you left the restaurant, you were probably exhausted. You may even have decided to leave early. So now imagine having to put that kind of effort into listening at school all day long. If you have a child who falls apart or just wants to sleep when they get home, they're probably mentally exhausted. So, Adeline, over the years, you and your mom have been very proactive about talking to your teachers about APD and your needs in class. How did you learn to advocate for yourself? And what do you say?
Good question. Me and my mom, I remember in elementary school mostly, my mom and I would go in to each one of my teachers every single year, and I would give them a short snippet of what I was confident and comfortable telling them about APD. And then my mom would come in and she would fill in the missing answers and give more clarification if teachers needed it. This continued into middle school and high school. She would come in again for middle school, and it was mostly me talking at this point, just about what the situation would look like with me with APD and how I was going to overcome challenges in the classroom. And then in high school, it got to the point where it was like second nature talking to teachers about this because I had been doing it for so long. I simply would go in there and have a casual conversation and say, this is what my APD is going to look like in your classroom. It's going to look different for your students in different situations. For example, if they have a PE class or some type of physical exercise class, they're going to have a hard time when the kids are all running around, for example, playing soccer, and the teacher yells, okay, 5 more minutes left. They're not going to hear that because they're in this jumble of mess of constant noise coming into their ears, and they're not going to be able to hear that. But for a math class, it's going to be a lot different because you're in a more condensed space and you have more noise coming into your ears than you would on a dispersed playing field. So it's going to look different for every single class, and you need to let your teachers know what it's going to look like for you and what your specific challenges are.
You know, that's really great language to say, I have APD. Here's what that means. Here's what it's going to look like in your class. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. And I also just want to, you know, shout out to your mom for, you know, the process that she took you through. That's incredibly empowering to learn together with your child about what the issue is, and then to give your child from a young age some language to talk to the teacher and let them do it, and then be there to fill in the gaps. That's just a tremendous model and a gift to you. To be able to do that now in high school, because in high school, definitely teachers don't want parents coming in and you know, pinch hitting for their kids. They want the kids to do it themselves. So,
and one thing is that has helped me every single time since I was a little child and we had to go into the doctor's for some random reason or the dentist or whatever it was to make an appointment. My mom would make me make my own appointments and she would make me call in and talk through the process. And yes, there were terms I didn't understand. And yes, there was things I was like, Mom, what do I say? What do I say to this? I don't know what they're saying. Help me right now. I need help. I'm panicking. But if you start that when you're younger and you start making those phone calls and those bigger communication steps in your life, it's going to be night and day when you have to start doing it in high school and college. You're going to feel so much more comfortable. So my advice for you is start now. Start making those appointments. Have your mom by your side. She's there to help you. She's always there. And don't feel like you have to do it alone because you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. So let me ask you, when you talk to teachers, how is it received?
Sometimes it's actually all the time. It's a mixed reaction. Some teachers are super accommodating and they immediately know my struggles and they've seen them in class. And sometimes it's like, what? You have a disability? Who cares? Like, you're going to be fine. Like, we're just going to put you in with the other people in the group. You're going to be fine. Just do the normal stuff. You're great.
Because and you look like you're going to be fine.
Yes, exactly. Because you can't see me, you know. I mean, like, you can see me, but you can't see the hidden disability. You can't see my APD.
Right.
But you can see it through my actions and through how I look at people and how I go through a class. And, you know, I've had teachers where I go in and they immediately know what I'm talking about. And they'll see it on their first day. Like, if they don't understand you on the first day, they're going to see it the second day and the third day and every single day on from then. And it's been nice because once they see my hidden disability, they say, oh, how can I help you? What can I do to help you succeed in my class so that you don't fall behind and you don't have that much anxiety every day? And then there's the teachers that are like, no, like, I'm not going to help you. Like, you're going to be fine. And it's frustrating because, yes, you can't see my hidden disability, but it's there. And it's just, you have to get used to different teachers and the way they work.
Right. And that's how the world is. So we do have to get used to that.
Yeah.
But at least you're going out and asking, you know, taking the step. So that's really great. How do you feel about it? Does it feel empowering? Does it feel embarrassing?
There's been some occasions where, I guess I'll start like this. It was really, really scary for me to go in when I was this cute little fifth grader, you know, super small and tiny in elementary school and say, hi, my name's Adeline, I have APD, to this big authoritative teacher that has so much more power and so much more responsibility than I did at the time. And I was like, are they even going to want to listen to me? Like, are they even going to want to pay attention to me and know that I have APD and understand it and see what they can do to help me? And then, so that was really hard. And then when I got to middle school, it got a little bit easier because, you know, I learned how to talk to teachers better. And I learned that I have a role in school and I have to talk to them in order to succeed. And I think at the end of the day, you have to respect yourself and love yourself enough to say, you deserve and I deserve to have the same testing environments and to have the same environment to learn in. And in order for me to have the same learning environment, I need you to understand this and I need you to accommodate for me. So it was definitely hard at first because I was like, I don't want to talk to this big authoritative figure. Like, that's terrifying. I will never do that again. But once I got older, it became so casual and so much easier.
The practice of it really helps, but also learning to say, I have a role. Not only do I have a role and I deserve to learn too.
Yes.
Good for you. It's great.
Thank you.
So what are some of the accommodations that you have found helpful?
So I currently have a 504 plan and, which if you don't know what that is, it's under a federal law and it gives you it gives a child in the classroom accommodation so that they can come up to the same playing field as other students are so they can have the same learning environment. So in my 504 and my accommodations in that, I have prepared notes, like I said earlier, because I can't listen to a lecture and take notes at the same time. It doesn't work. It's too fast and there's too many things happening for me to process information quickly enough. Another one is at the beginning of the year, when I'm telling my teachers about my APD, I have to say, hey, I'm going to need to sit in the front of the class. Please write it down on your sitting chart so you remember I have to be in the front of the class so I can read your lips and your body language and get all this information in. Another one is more time on tests. This has happened so many times this year. I've gone out of the classroom and just sat in the hallway and took a test because I feel like if I let me see how to say this right. If I am going to my teacher and saying, hey, I have APD, and then they forget about it and we're taking a test the next time, then I have to go up to them and say, I need you to turn off this music because I can't focus. And sometimes it's awkward for me because I feel like I'm taking away testing opportunities from a different student because I can't focus with background music on. But someone else, that might be the perfect environment for them, is to have that background music on, even if it's just classical music, which doesn't work for me either. So it's hard, but it's worth it in the end. Another accommodation I have is, I think that's all of them actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are there any things that you tried that weren't helpful?
Yes, I had an FM system in fifth grade. So FM system stands for frequency modulation. And basically what it is and what it means is the teacher will wear a little microphone on her shirt and then I'll wear headphones. And so that way the teacher's voice will go directly from the headphones to, or the microphone, sorry, to the headphones. So I don't have to process out and filter out background noise. But it got to a point where I felt so isolated. And I was like, I can't even have a regular table conversation with my friends anymore. Like, what's the point? Like, I just feel isolated and I feel lonely and it is awful and I hated it. And so it got to the point where, you know, I just stopped wearing them because it was better to not be isolated than to be isolated and be able to talk with my peers and teachers and laugh and have a good time in class rather than just sitting there and being so stressed all the time.
You know, that's a really interesting observation about that particular accommodation. And I would just say to parents, as you work with your kids and the school on accommodations, it's really important to observe and listen and explore with your children and especially your adolescents and teens about how it's working for them. Sometimes they say they don't want to use accommodations, even though you know it would be helpful. And it's just really important to explore why. Because, you know, if you kind of weigh what you said there, getting better information versus feeling isolated, you know, I mean, so you just have to look at the big picture of those accommodations.
Also on that note, there's been times where I felt so awkward getting accommodations because, you know, you're the slow student, you're the dumb student that needs more help and that always has to come after school and all these things, right? And in one of my science classes, every single class period, it's still awkward for me. My teacher, he knows that I have to have prepared notes and I've communicated that with him. So now he brings them to me. And oftentimes people around me will be like, what are those? Like, you have notes. Why don't I get notes? Like, I want notes. I don't want to have to work as hard. And I want to explain to them everything that I have to do, but it's just, it's too much for a 30-second discussion before class starts. And so Advice for everyone who's watching, you know, you don't feel awkward because say like, I just need a little bit of extra help. And like, you might need extra help in your other classes. I don't know, but like advocate for yourself and say, like, yes, it's going to feel awkward, but it's better to have accommodations than to struggle so much in school and to feel so far behind and to feel so lonely and like nothing's working than not.
Absolutely. And what's hard for our kids to understand is that if they can confidently say, hey, I just need a little extra help, Everybody else will quit thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
I feel like you have gotten to that point and so that's great. So Adeline, being with friends is a huge part of high school. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with social situations like parties and dances and big noisy events?
Yes, that is a very hot topic in APD and you know, it comes up a lot, actually, literally every single day, you know, I deal with it all the time. I kind of like to call this like the Friday night prep or like the weekend prep, you know, because everyone across the globe is working super hard throughout the week. They're trying to get everything in, everything good, and trying to finish off a million different things and projects. And then they get to the weekend and they're like, yes, yes, it's finally the weekend. I can party all night. I can stay up. I can do whatever I want. No stress. The work is done. I am free. I'm a free human. Like, let's go party everything. Right. But for me, it's like, I don't really want to go party because that takes a lot of energy. And I'm like, can I not go out tonight? So I kind of have to mentally prepare myself in advance. For example, if I know about a wedding I'm going to go to, or a huge party or a dance or a school event, that it's going to have lots of noise and background noise for me to filter out. This is literally what I do every single time. This might sound kind of weird, but I would recommend trying it. You just close your eyes and just say, okay, I'm going to go to this event. I'm going to open the door. There's going to be 10 different conversations going on, tons of background noise, tons of people talking, lots of music blaring in my ears from every single direction, every single room. I'm not going to be able to participate in like half the conversations. I'm going to be listening a lot, like a lot. You're going to be trying to catch up, and you're just going to be trying to stay in the moment, but it's going to be hard. And if you do this, it's going to help you tremendously, because if you go in to the night having these high expectations of I'm going to hear everything and, you know, I'm going to be able to participate in every single conversation. I'm going to have lots of things to come into the conversation with. By the end of the night, you're going to feel so disappointed because you didn't talk at all. You barely could get in anything. You could barely do what you wanted to do that night. If you go into it with low expectations and say, I'm not going to be able to hear half the stuff, and I'm not going to be able to participate, and I'm going to have to ask lots of questions and go, wait, huh? Wait, what? What's going on? Huh? Then you're going to be a lot happier when you're leaving. You're going to be able to say to yourself, I did my best, and I went into this knowing this was going to happen. Another thing that helps me is having a friend that knows about APD and what you struggle with exactly, because every person with APD has different symptoms and has different things that they struggle with. For example, my friend, little shout out Darby, she has known about my APD for 4 years, and she's noticed in my conversations that I've had with her and other people, whenever we're in big situations that are loud and noisy, she will look at my face and she'll see that I have a completely blank face on me and I'm not processing anything. And in her mind, she'll go, oh, Adeline is not processing and I need to catch her up in the conversation so she can feel included and be able to participate.
That's a great friend. Yes. But that's really good. So you don't necessarily talk to everybody about it, but you have a friend who really knows and is sensitive and and aware.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I remember in one of your posts, you talked about APD being kind of like being late. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. I love that post so much. That was such a fun one to write
really
up.
Really insightful.
Thank you. So again, with the whole weekend and going to the party thing, I personally hate being late. I was raised to not be late ever. And so when I kind of use this analogy in my post about when you're late to a conversation or a party, like you've already missed out on the opening, like welcome to the party and welcome, this is the agenda, this is what we're going to do. But when you're late to a conversation, it makes it incredibly hard to even catch up or know the subject, because you could be talking about cake or school or literally anything in the whole universe. You know, it's a huge range. And so you have to be constantly there and focused in the conversation, because if you're late, then you already missed out on the agenda of the conversation or the topic of the conversation. And so it makes it a lot more, it makes it harder and more rough. Also during the conversation, I notice that I am late multiple times. When I say late, I mean I can't process it fast enough and I can't, I want like time to freeze for like 5 seconds for me to like be able to process and say, oh, that was that detail. oh, and that this makes more sense now because I have this one single word in the sentence that makes everything come together. But sadly, I can't just freeze time and I can't just freeze the conversation. I have to come back from being late to the conversation and ask lots of questions. So you're going to be late in conversations and you're going to want them to stop, but you're going to have to piece together a lot of the information that you're given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, wow, so many insights here. I so appreciate this. What other advice do you have for teens? Just kind of generally.
I think my advice would be don't give up. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Keep advocating for yourself. Like we said, small to big. Keep asking questions. Yes, it might be awkward, but it's the only way you're going to succeed, guys. Mm-hmm. You got to ask those questions. Also, know you're not alone. There are millions of people out in the world today that have APD and that are struggling with the exact same problems on a daily basis and the exact same situations that you're struggling with every single day. So know that you're not alone and that there's hope and help everywhere. And there are people and resources like Stillwell Center that can help you with this. And you can get to a point where you don't have to struggle as much as you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think that whole self-awareness and understanding of what you need. I mean, we all need to do that for ourselves and our particular mm-hmm. strengths and weaknesses. And so just kind of building in that self-awareness and understanding of what we need to be successful, and then giving ourselves permission to do it, to yes. ask. That's just an incredibly powerful thing. Mm-hmm.
I also think that, especially if you're in middle school, or for that freshman that we were talking about earlier, or anyone else in even high school or middle school, find out how your body works and how your mind works and how much time you can have in a day to do homework and how much time you need for social time and how much time you need for sleep, because all of that is so crucial to being able mm-hmm. to get through your day. Also another thing is learn to take breaks. Learn that it's okay to take a break. I am horrible at this. I stretch my mind so far and I like never give myself breaks. It's the most unhealthy thing ever. I definitely need to work on that, but learn that even a 10-minute break, it's not procrastinating work. You've been working for an hour or however long it is, even 10 minutes. Take a 10-minute break. It's so crucial. And your mind literally cannot work if you keep pushing it to the max and you keep pushing and pushing and pushing. It's not going to work. You need to stop and take 10 minutes, go for a walk, get a drink of water, eat some food, go take a nap, do whatever it is you need to do. Find out what works for you and what works best for you. Because as soon as you find out that, it's like night and day. Mm-hmm. And you can function so much better because you know your body and you know how you work.
You know, that is so true. And not just for people with APD mm-hmm. or dyslexia or something that they're struggling with like that. I mean, that is literally how the brain works yes, and how it learns. Exactly. So that is, you know, really good advice for all of us. Mm-hmm. Well, Adeline, I have just learned so much from you, and I've shared with other students and parents some of your ideas for building self-advocacy, as well as the kinds of accommodations and actions that can support a person with APD. So this has been a great learning experience for me. This is really important stuff. And there's one more step. And I want to share with you and with our viewers that auditory processing can be improved. We've been doing auditory training for the last 20 years with astounding results. And I've got to be honest here. I look at you, Adeline, and I think you do not need to go off to college working this hard. I know you'll manage. You're amazing.
Thank you.
But it can be easier. Mm-hmm. I remember the boyfriend of one of our clinicians who was going off to medical school in Mexico, and he had an auditory processing problem. But of course, you would never have known it. He was smart and together like you. But he was really worried about exactly what you talked about earlier. He was afraid that he wouldn't get all the information in class and that he wouldn't be able to keep up with the work because he was so exhausted at the end of the day. So we got him going on an auditory training program, which he then continued to do when he went to medical school. And he emailed me a few weeks into the semester, and he was so happy because he was finding that he could pay attention and get the information in lectures, and he was keeping up with the work.
Wow. That's incredible.
It is.
Oh my gosh.
And we see that all the time. When the auditory system is stimulated and trained to tune in or pay attention to a full range of frequencies in sound, the student gets a clearer, crisper, more accurate message, which means that listening is going to take less effort. The person isn't going to expend excessive energy to listen and fill in the gaps. There is a very strong belief out there that if you have auditory processing disorder or dyslexia or learning disabilities, you just have to find ways around them. And thankfully, that is simply not true. This is backed up by neuroscience research and tons of clinical evidence over the last 40 years. Parents, if your child is struggling academically or socially, you need to look beneath the surface. Auditory processing could be at the root of the challenge, and auditory processing can change. Adeline, I just can't thank you enough for being willing to be vulnerable and vocal to, as you said, break the silence about APD and help other teens and parents. What message would you like to leave our audience with today?
Reiterate.
You may have already said it, but say it again.
I want to reiterate that you are not alone. There are so many resources, and there are so many people that want to help you and have this exact diagnosis. There's lots of experiences out there with lots of stories to share, and keep advocating for yourself. Learn how to do that, because if you do, life will be 10 times easier, more than 10 times easier. It's going to be so much easier for you. Know that it's going to get better, and this is not the end, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to be okay. I've had to tell myself that so many times, but it's so worth it. Get help. Keep advocating. Asking those small questions, even if it's, wait, what? Can you repeat that again? It helps more than you know it does. Just keep asking questions and keep advocating for yourself.
Perfect. Adeline, thank you for the way you show up in the world. You are proactive. You're already, as a high school junior, working hard to make life better for others. That is incredible.
Thank you.
This is LD Expert Live, your place for answers and solutions for learning disabilities, dyslexia, and auditory and attention challenges. Stowell Learning Centers are open for remote sessions and screenings. We're also seeing students on site with all of the COVID precautions. We work with children and adults doing targeted brain training to improve dyslexia, auditory processing, learning, and attention challenges. If you would like a free consultation for yourself or your child, give us a call or visit our website at stowellcenter.com.